You're a 5-year-old child in elementary school. You're reading a book when the school guidance counselor comes into the class and pulls you out of the room and into their office. She says your grandparents are coming to pick you up from school and you get excited. Your grandparents arrive 10 minutes later and you get into the car and they drive you home. It was here that they told you that your parents passed away in a car accident. You're just a kid, so you don't really know what's happening, but it's not good. Now you have to go see a therapist 3 times a week for the foreseeable future to cope with things. How is a therapist supposed to help you understand and get over the loss of your parents as a 6-year-old child? How is the therapy supposed to fill the gap left by the loss of those two parents? Well, I mean, the real answer is that there is no answer, because with psychology and therapy, there isn't really any one way to solve something this serious. However, a practice becoming more and more common in the treatment of children is superhero bibliotherapy. Bibliotherapy is defined as the use of books in a therapeutic process. And as you could imagine, the superhero portion means that therapists use superhero books, comics, movies, and other literature to aid in therapy. Welcome everyone to this week's podcast episode. My name is Colin Rohr, if you're new here, and today I'm here to discuss superhero bibliotherapy with you and what it's all about. You see, kids look up to superheroes. Their power, their fame, their confidence, and mostly everything about them is appealing not only to kids, but adults. And because of this, it makes superheroes a perfect tool for therapy among kids who have experienced loss and those that simply need a little push. More specifically, there was actually a study written on the effectiveness of superhero bibliotherapy in kids that have experienced parental loss. Nurit Betzalel and Zipporah Sheshtman conducted a study with nearly 200 kids in foster care, dividing them into 3 treatment groups for superhero bibliotherapy, regular bibliotherapy, and no treatment as a control group. The study quantified the results and found that while both superhero bibliotherapy and regular bibliotherapy reduced kids' levels of anxiety and aggression, worry, violent behavior, and more, superhero bibliotherapy was the only group that actually showed significant reduction in those categories. And for the record, the control group with no treatment actually showed increased signs in these categories. But why? Yeah, I mean, superheroes are cool, strong, and popular, but why exactly does this help overcome deep mental issues? Well, for one, according to Betzalel and Sheshtman, children rely on parents from birth to fulfill basic physical and emotional needs. And additionally, a study conducted by John Bowlby found that the foundation for a mentally healthy child is crucially dependent on a solid connection with the parent. So, in other words, when a child lacks a relationship with their parent or parents, they need something or someone to fill that gap, and superheroes apply very well. Superheroes can help children to identify right and wrong, or teach them how to act in a certain situation, take care of themselves, or overcome trauma. Many superheroes have tragic pasts that led them to become the hero that they are. Take The Flash, for example. After his mother was killed in a mysterious accident, he became a forensic scientist and one of the most powerful and popular superheroes, overcoming his tragedies and making something from it. And this concept is what perfectly applies to children, as it parallels their situations, gives them something to attach onto, and use the experiences of to overcome and cope with their own situations. So that's actually going to wrap things up for this first episode, so stay tuned for the next episode where I'm going to continue this discussion on the use of superhero bibliotherapy with children, talking about some more of the uses of superhero bibliotherapy, like its use in classrooms, as well as the implications and the limitations that it has. Alright, so this has been Colin Rohr, and I'll see you all in the next episode.